Now we're turning to the Gospel of John and to the chapter 14. We're going to read a few verses, a very few verses from chapter 14, and then just a couple of verses as well from chapter 15, and then a few verses as well from chapter 16. There is a reason why we jump from one place to another here at this particular point in John's Gospel. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the Spirit's special title. And in fact, we might say that this is the special title which the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the Holy Spirit. And outside of what we find here at this particular point in John's Gospel, this title is found only in one other place. And we will refer to that before we are finished this evening. But there are some familiar verses here, and I'm sure you'll know exactly the verses that we have in mind. First of all, chapter 14 then. John 14 and the verse 15. The Lord Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And then the verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Chapter 15. And the final two verses, verses 26 and 27, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Then chapter 16. And the verse 12. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." And we'll end our reading there. We trust that God will add of his own blessing to the public reading of his precious word here this evening. When Christ announced to his disciples that he was going away, all the sunshine of life seemed to suffer immediate and total eclipse. In a sense, these men had nothing in the world but Christ. For him, they had sacrificed family and home, friends and business, indeed every earthly prospect. In response to his call, they had embarked upon a new life. It was not an easy life. Already they had endured trial and persecution for his name's sake. But with the presence of Jesus to cheer and to strengthen them, they had held on their way. But now, he is going. he is going. It is not difficult to imagine what thoughts filled and flooded the minds of these men. The Savior knew what concerns they would have. And so he begins to explain what his departure would mean. They would not be left alone. Another would be sent, even the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, the one who would abide with them forever. Now, what the Lord Jesus Christ says on any subject is of the utmost importance. That is something we ought to keep ever before us. What the Savior says is what we ought to take heed to and what we ought to receive and to embrace with all our hearts. It is certainly no less true as we deal with the subject before us this evening. And I am, as I have said, thinking of that special title given by Christ to the Holy Spirit, and you will know it from the verses that we have read together from the heart of John's Gospel. The Savior identified the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. The Comforter. In the original, the Greek word is parakletos, which gives us the English word paraclete. And that word means someone who is called alongside to help. Someone who is called alongside to help. The word comforter is an old English word. It goes back as far as the Bible translation of John Wycliffe. And that old English word comes from the Latin. It means one who comes alongside to strengthen. It has lost something of that force today. Mr. Spurgeon says it is a word that is too extensive in meaning to be exchanged for any one word in any language. So it's a very important term. Outside of these chapters, the Greek word is used only once. And it is surely significant that on that occasion it is applied to Christ himself. 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 1. 1 John 2 and the verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. This time the word is translated advocate. John Calvin puts it like this. He says the name paraclete is applied to Christ as well as to the Spirit and properly. For it is the common office of each to console and encourage us and to preserve us by their defense. So this parallel ministry, the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, brings us to the first observation that I want to make as we seek to examine this matter this evening. I want you to see from the verses we have read that the Holy Spirit is to be all that Christ was to his disciples. The Holy Spirit is to be all that Christ was to his disciples. John chapter 14 and the verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. It's interesting to note exactly what the Savior says. He does not say, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you a comforter. No, he says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. And of course, this word that is here translated another is highly significant in the original because the Greek language offers us two options. Two contrasting options. As far as this term is concerned, there is a word which means another in the sense of something altogether different, another of a different kind. But there is also a word which means another of the same kind. And it is that second term that we find used here in our text. Another of the same kind. The plain teaching of this statement is that the Lord Jesus Christ was the first comforter, if we may put it like that, and the Holy Spirit is a second comforter, another comforter, occupying now the position previously occupied by the Savior when he walked this earth. Now, having made the statement, can we grasp its truth? Can we see something of what the Savior is saying? It is difficult to know where to begin. It is truly impossible to catalogue the many things which Christ did for his disciples. He was as the captain of the host. He was their leader. His very presence inspiring his followers, his wisdom and strength bringing them to victory. He was as the shepherd of the flock. The sheep being foolish, defenseless, and prone to wander, and he protecting them, providing for all of their needs, and gathering them to himself. He was as the teacher of the class, the pupils often dull of hearing, slow of heart to believe, reluctant to advance, and he patient, long-suffering, and ever willing to instruct in that doctrine so fully and finally demonstrated in his own life. Where would they have been without such a master? The presence and the power and the provision of Christ was essential to their continued existence. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he spoke of Christ in these terms. He said, Christ is all and in all. And of course, his disciples knew the truth of those words. Christ, everything to them. And we say it again tonight, all that the Lord Jesus Christ was, the Spirit of God now is. To the Christian. If there is any life or light, any power or influence within the child of God today, that is entirely due to the presence and the working of God the Holy Spirit. And I say to you, believer, do not lose sight of the implication of this very precious truth. Honor the Holy Spirit of God as you would honor Jesus Christ if he were present. You would never think of ignoring the Savior if he dwelt literally in your house. He would have your full attention. Nothing would be too good for him. Well then, do exactly the same for the one who is with you. Reverence that blessed Spirit, that blessed guest who is pleased to abide with you. Love him, obey him just as you would Christ. Because he, the Comforter, is all to you that Jesus Christ was to his disciples. Let's take this a little further this evening. Let me point out to you, secondly, that the Holy Spirit indwells the Christian, being constantly present with him. Holy Spirit indwells the Christian. We've read it here in the verse, the text, verse 16, chapter 14, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. Notice how it continues, that he may abide with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. What a blessing is contained in these words. Is it not a comfort to you, child of God, that there is a Holy Spirit and that he dwells in you at this present time? In this sense, we are not required to summon the Spirit from his heavenly abode. He has come from heaven. And of course, that is the refrain, the words of that refrain that we were singing just a few moments ago. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. He has come down from heaven, and he has never gone back again. He dwells in his church perpetually. Time and time again, we are reminded of this foundational truth, that the Spirit of God actually, literally dwells within the Christian. You, child of God, in this meeting tonight, are the dwelling place of the Comforter in this world. Right at the beginning, we read those words in Romans chapter 8. Almost at the outset of the portion that we did read, Romans 8 and verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Then we have these words, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now here is Paul indicating one of the distinguishing marks of the Christian. Without the Spirit, we are out of Christ. If Christ is our Redeemer, if we have a living relationship with God through his Son, then by the same token, God the Holy Spirit indwells us. We do not have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. We turn the page and look this time at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And the verse 16, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Paul is not referring here to any building, certainly not referring to any structure that might have been used by this body of believers at Corinth, for in all likelihood there was no such building. He's referring to individual believers. He says, "Ye are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you." If you want that put a little bit more precisely, a little bit more definitely, you can go over just a page or two to chapter 6 and to the last two verses. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. "What," he says, "know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." What manner of person ought we then to be, if we as believers are the very dwelling places of the Holy Spirit of God? There are practical outworkings of every vital doctrine here. There's something immensely challenging about this. That the Holy Spirit of God has condescended to come and dwell within us. Well, that's a solemn thing. An exceedingly challenging thing. I give you one more example, though there are numerous others. But I give you this one for a reason. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1, and in the opening chapter of this second letter which Paul writes to Timothy, he's seeking to encourage him concerning his ministry and concerning his service. There is a view that at times Timothy could be rather timid. rather restrained in the exercise of his duties, rather reluctant to, I suppose, push the challenge that was left before him right to its ultimate. And he held back somewhat, but Paul is seeking to encourage him here, and he does so in various ways, and perhaps most notably in 2 Timothy 1:14, he says, "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." And of course, the implication of all that he's saying here, not only in this verse, but in the context, is that Timothy had no spiritual strength of his own. He is here reminded of a truth, the very truth before us this evening, that would cheer him and encourage him and embolden him so that he might use the gift bestowed upon him. What was that truth? It is the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Realize afresh, Timothy, Paul is saying, the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. And you're not left to yourself. You're not on your own. The Holy Spirit is with you. What a tremendous consolation to know that the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit is an abiding reality. His comfort, His help, does not depend upon our health or our wealth or position or indeed any earthly circumstance. He is with us all the way. Things may be at a low ebb, physically or materially. The body may be ravaged with illness. We may have little in terms of this world's goods. There might be manifold trials and troubles and persecutions. Yet we are remarkably sustained because He dwells with us. And as Christ says, He is in us. Never lose sight of that truth, Christian. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And furthermore, as we think about the teaching of Christ and the instruction provided here in John's Gospel, we see that the Holy Spirit is a comforter to us by teaching us. By teaching us. John 14 and the verse 26, "The Comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Is a most significant part of the work of the Holy Spirit to make us understand what Jesus taught. The man who is taught of the Spirit of God is truly taught of God. And that must be the desire of every Christian. Surely, believer, in the meeting tonight, that is your desire, that you might be taught of the Lord. In fact, in some measure, it is already the experience of the Christian. It is one of the things that distinguishes us from the unregenerate. They may have been taught of man, they may be taught by a parent, a Sunday school teacher, a minister. And what they have is an intellectual knowledge, but it is a knowledge without saving power, that power which the Holy Spirit teaches, provides. Showing a man his sin, showing him his inability to save himself, showing him the sufficiency of Christ to meet the need of a dying soul. Has the Holy Spirit taught you these things? What have you done with His teaching? And of course, the teaching of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is something that goes on and on and on. We need to be taught the things of Christ, and we need to have those things brought to our remembrance constantly. And you'll notice that this is a twofold work here. There's a teaching and there's a reminding us of what the Savior said. And the two things are necessary. If we don't understand the doctrine, if we have not been taught, we may be like children who are able to recite things, but we may not have received those things into our hearts. We can repeat them by rote, but we don't really understand what we're saying. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to teach us so that we do understand and to bring these things to our remembrance when we need to remember them. So the Holy Spirit is a comforter to us by teaching us. How do we know that He is teaching us? There are so many who claim to be taught of the Spirit of God in these days. We do well to ask, is our heart brought more into allegiance with God? Do we have a keen sense of our own ignorance? Are we humbled by what we learn? Are we able to maintain a right sense of priority? Do we set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth? Are we really changed? Are we being transformed day and daily into the likeness of Christ? These are the things that will indicate to us whether or not we are really being taught of the Spirit of God. And then we must say, fourthly, that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He is our advocate. We've noted the use of this word in relation to Christ, and there is a sense in which it is appropriate for the Holy Spirit to be spoken of in this way as He relates to the Christian in chapter 15, right at the end, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Christ, of course, has just been reminding His disciples that they must face persecution. We need to keep these words in context. What has He been saying to them? Well, go back a moment. Look at verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. See, if you're saying, listen, you're going to face persecution. Now, of course, they had experienced something of this already. But what did they do? What did they do at such times when Christ was on the earth? They took their case to Him. They expected Him to come to their aid and to answer the accuser as only He could. But now He is going, and they must learn to rely upon the Holy Spirit. He will do two things. He will speak for us Himself. He will testify of Christ. We will not be left to struggle on without help. He will be right there. He shall testify of me. And of course, He will also enable us to bear witness ourselves. Ye also shall bear witness, Christ says. How often that has been proven so, those Christians who were brought before the Roman tribunals confounded their enemies not by human wisdom but by holy simplicity. And Christ was manifest in them. They were victorious because the Comforter was there with them. And dear child of God, in this meeting tonight, the Comforter is with you too. In times of trial and testing, in times of persecution, in times when it seems as though everyone is against you, in the person of the Holy Spirit, there is one who is right there with you. And there is one who is able to bring to your mind and your heart just the very things you need to say, even the things that will magnify Christ. The last thing I want to mention tonight is this: the Holy Spirit is a guide to the believer. Holy Spirit is a guide to the believer. In chapter 16, the Savior is again speaking about the Comforter. First of all, He talks about the wider ministry that the Comforter has in relation to the world. In verse 7, we didn't read it, but He says, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit has a ministry in relation to the world at large. The Holy Spirit is at work in the world, even today. But we're concerned primarily this evening with the Spirit's ministry in respect of the believer, and it's a ministry of guidance. Look at verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. How necessary is this aspect of the Spirit's ministry? Say to you, child of God, tonight, don't we need to know the guidance of God in this world? We're not at home here. The old song says this world is not our home, and we are just passing through. We are strangers and pilgrims. We dare not take our cue from the leaders and the influential figures of this world. We need not, of course, because the Holy Spirit is provided to be our guide. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. We emphasize the point this evening that the Holy Spirit of God works by means of the Scriptures of truth. In this work of guidance, the Holy Spirit is concerned about one thing. He's concerned about truth. That's why here and in other places, the Savior describes him not only as the Comforter, but as the Spirit of truth. And of course, it's inconceivable that one who is spoken of as the Spirit of truth will ever lead us into error, or will ever lead us away from the teaching of God's Word. That's why it's such an awful thing when on occasions we see people say, the Holy Spirit led me to do this, the Holy Spirit led me to do that, he has guided me in this way or that way, and when we look at what they're doing, we see that it conflicts with God's Word. And it cannot be, because it is not the work of the Holy Spirit to lead us away from the Scripture. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit to lead us away from the teaching of Christ. He works by means of the Scriptures of truth. He will not hide anything from us. He will guide you into all truth, the verse says. With some there is a kind of comfort that is founded upon concealment. They console themselves by conveniently forgetting some troublesome truth. The Holy Spirit never works like that. He sets before us all the truth. And you will notice from the lines that we have read here at this point in chapter 16 that he exercises this strengthening ministry especially by bringing us to Christ and bringing the Savior's life and teaching home to us. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That's how the Holy Spirit does guide us. He brings us over and over again to Christ. The one who is ever contemplating Christ is the one who will never want for the guidance of the best kind. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. We read those lines from Romans chapter 8 as well. Do we know this leadership? Do we know the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our own lives? Are we willing for it? Are we willing for it? Be assured, he will never lead you amiss. He will lead you after Christ. He is the Comforter. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of Christ. He will take the things of Christ and will show those things to you. and you will be better for the sight of him.